but that we've gone on, that this is the 20th century, that most of us have grown up so that such soporifics of the past are no longer necessary. That if gushes of blood should fall from the sky upon New York City, business would go on as usual. We began with rains that we accepted ourselves were, most likely, only of sand. In my own still immature hereticalness and by heresy, or progress, I mean, very largely, a return, though with many modifications, to the superstitions of the past, I think I feel considerable aloofness to the idea of rains of blood. Just at present, it is my conservative, or timid purpose, to express only that there have been red rains that very strongly suggest blood or finely divided animal matter. Debris from interplanetary disasters. Aerial battles. Food supplies from cargoes of supervessels, wrecked in interplanetary traffic. There was a red rain in the Mediterranean region, March 6, 1888. 12 days later, it fell again. Whatever the substance may have been, when burned, the odor of animal matter from it was strong and persistent. L. Astronomy, 1888-205. But infinite heterogeneity or debris from many different kinds of aerial cargoes, there have been red rains that have been colored by neither sand nor animal matter. Annals of Philosophy, 16-226. That, November 2, 1819, week before the Black Rain and Earthquake of Canada, there fell, at Blankenberge, Holland, a red rain. As to sand, two chemists of Bruges concentrated 144 ounces of the rain to 4 ounces no precipitate fell. But the color was so marked that had there been sand, it would have been deposited, if the substance had been diluted instead of concentrated. Experiments were made, and various reagents did cast precipitates, but other than sand. The chemists concluded that the rainwater contained muriate of cobalt, which is not very enlightening, that could be said of many substances carried in vessels upon the Atlantic Ocean. Whatever it may have been, in the Annals de Chimie, 2-12-432, its color is said to have been red-violet. For various chemic reactions, Sequar, Jure, Roy, Inst, 9-202, and Eden, Phil, Jure, 2-381. Something that fell with dust said to have been meteoric, March 9, 10, 11, 1872, described in the Chemical News, 25-300, as a peculiar substance, consisted of red iron ochre, carbonate of lime, and organic matter. Orange-red hail, March 14, 1873, in Tuscany. Notes and Queries 9-5-16. Rain of lavender-colored substance, Adidon, France, December 19, 1903. Bull. SOC Met. De France, 1904-124. Law Nature, 1885-2-351. That, according to Professor Shvedov, there fell, in Russia, June 14, 1880, red hailstones, also blue hailstones, also gray hailstones. Nature, 34-123. A correspondent writes that he had been told by a resident of a small town in Venezuela, that there, April 17, 1886, had fallen hailstones, some red, some blue, some whitish. Informant said to have been one unlikely ever to have heard of the Russian phenomenon, described as an honest, plain countryman. Nature, July 5, 1877, quotes a Roman correspondent to the London Times who sent a translation from an Italian newspaper, that a red rain had fallen in Italy, June 23, 1877, containing microscopically small particles of sand. Or, according to our acceptance, any other story would have been an evil thing, in the sociologic sense, in Italy, in 1877. But the English correspondent, from a land where terrifying red rains are uncommon, does not feel this necessity. He writes, "I am by no means satisfied that the rain was of sand and water." His observations are that drops of this rain left stains such as sandy water could not leave. He notes that when the water evaporated, no sand was left behind. Elani Scientific, 1888-75. That, December 13, 1887, there fell, in Cochin, China, a substance like blood, somewhat coagulated. Annals de Chimie, 85-266. That a thick, viscous, red matter fell at Ulm, in 1812. We now have a datum with a factor that has been foreshadowed, which will recur and recur and recur throughout this book. It is a factor that makes for speculation so revolutionary that it will have to be reinforced many times before we can take it into full acceptance. Yearbook of Facts, 1861-273. Quotation from a letter from Professor Campini to Professor Matt Uxie. That, upon December 28, 1860, at about 7 a.m., in the northwestern part of Siena, a reddish rain fell copiously for 2 hours. A second red shower fell at 11 o'clock. 3 days later, the red rain fell again. The next day another red rain fell. Still more extraordinarily. Each fall occurred in exactly the same quarter of town. 4. It is in the records of the French Academy that, upon March 17, 1669, in the town of Châtillon-sur-Seine, fell a reddish substance that was thick, viscous, and putrid. American Journal of Science, 1-41-404. Story of a highly unpleasant substance that had fallen from the sky, in Wilson County, Tennessee. We read that Dr. Troost visited the place and investigated. Later we're going to investigate some investigations, but never mind that now. Dr. Troost reported that the substance was clear blood and portions of flesh scattered upon tobacco fields. He argued that a whirlwind might have taken an animal up from one place, mauled it around, and have precipitated its remains somewhere else. But, in volume 44, page 216, of the journal, there is an apology. The whole matter is, upon newspaper authority, said to have been a hoax by Negroes, who had pretended to have seen the shower, for the sake of practicing upon the credulity of their masters, that they had scattered the decaying flesh of a dead hog over the tobacco fields. If we don't accept this datum, at least we see the sociologically necessary determination to have all falls accredited to earthly origins even when they're falls that don't fall. Annual Register, 1821-687. That, upon the 13th of August, 1819, something had fallen from the sky at Amherst, Mass. It had been examined and described by Professor Graves, formerly lecturer at Dartmouth College. It was an object that had upon it a nap, similar to that of milled cloth. Upon removing this nap, a buff-colored, pulpy substance was found. It had an offensive odor, and, upon exposure to the air, turned to a vivid red. This thing was said to have fallen with a brilliant light. Also see the Edinburgh Philosophical Journal, 5-295. In the Annals de Chimie, 1821-67, Amerigo accepts the datum, and gives 4 instances of similar objects or substances said to have fallen from the sky, 2 of which we shall have with our data of gelatinous, or viscous matter, and 2 of which I omit, because it seems to me that the dates given are too far back. In the American Journal of Science, 1-2-335, is Professor Graves' account, communicated by Professor Dewey. That, upon the evening of August 13, 1819, a light was seen in Amherst, a falling object sound as if of an explosion. In the home of Professor Dewey, this light was reflected upon a wall of a room in which were several members of Professor Dewey's family. The next morning, in Professor Dewey's front yard, in what is said to have been the only position from which the light that had been seen in the room, the night before, could have been reflected, was found a substance unlike anything before observed by anyone who saw it. It was a bowl-shaped object, about 8 inches in diameter, and 1 inch thick. Bright buff-colored, and having upon it a fine nap. Upon removing this covering, a buff-colored, pulpy substance of the consistency of soft soap, was found of an offensive, suffocating smell. A few minutes of exposure to the air changed the buff color to a livid color resembling venous blood. It absorbed moisture quickly from the air and liquefied. For some of the chemic reactions, see the journal. There's another lost quasi-soul of a datum that seems to me to belong here. London Times, April 19, 1836. Fall of fish that had occurred in the neighborhood of Allahabad, India. It is said that the fish were of the Chalwei species, about a span in length and a seer in weight, you know. They were dead and dry. Or they had been such a long time out of water that we can't accept that they had been scooped out of a pond, by a whirlwind, even though they were so definitely identified as of a known local species. Or they were not fish at all. I incline, myself, to the acceptance that they were not fish, but slender, fish-shaped objects of the same substance as that which fell at Amherst. It is said that, whatever they were, they could not be eaten, that in the pan, they turned to blood. For details of this story see the Journal of the Asiatic Society of Bengal, 1834-307. May 16 or 17, 1834, is the date given in the journal. In the American Journal of Science, 1-25-362, occurs the inevitable damnation of the Amherst object. Professor Edward Hitchcock went to live in Amherst. He says that years later, another object, like the one said to have fallen in 1819, had been found at nearly the same place. Professor Hitchcock was invited by Professor Graves to examine it. Exactly like the first one. Corresponded in size and color and consistency. The chemic reactions were the same. Professor Hitchcock recognized it in a moment. It was a gelatinous fungus. He did not satisfy himself as to just the exact species it belonged to, but he predicted that similar fungi might spring up within 24 hours. But, before evening, two others sprang up. Or we've arrived at one of the oldest of the exclusionists' conventions, or Nostoc. We shall have many data of gelatinous substance said to have fallen from the sky. Almost always the exclusionists argue that it was only Nostoc, an alga, or, in some respects, a fungus growth. The rival convention is spawn of frogs or of fishes. These two conventions have made a strong combination. In instances where testimony was not convincing that gelatinous matter had been seen to fall, it was said that the gelatinous substance was Nostoc, and had been upon the ground in the first place. When the testimony was too good that it had fallen, it was said to be spawn that had been carried from one place to another in a whirlwind.